correct. I'm just going to read out the following. All right, Robert. I would like to welcome everybody to the meeting today. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure that their mobile phones are either turned off or switched on to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of this meeting will be audio recorded, except where the Council is considering an exempt matter. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking, and members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting. I would remind councillors of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take a vote. Okay, that's the formality. So, I welcome you all here this evening for our meeting. I have a number of apologies. We have Sean Dorn, Willie Clark, Naomi Bailey. Any other apologies? Jim McCauley?
Sure, I'm done with an apology, but clearly I'm here.
Ms. Kimmins is here. We have an apology from Laura. Pete Burns. Okay. Just in way of Chairperson's remarks, Stevie Burns has actually given everybody one of the sponsorship forms, and we are being asked maybe for any councillors that are in a position to take part in the walk. We don't have to do all of it. It has been done over 6 days, so if any councillor is in a position, you know, it's a very worthy cause. So I was just asked, I know we were emailed a couple of weeks ago, so I was asked just to bring it to your attention because it is actually starting on Sunday of this week. I would also have a couple of things. I have been asked by a couple of the councillors to acknowledge the Clady under 14 hurling team, which won the All-Ireland Sela about a fortnight ago, and also for the Burn under 14 and the Mayo Bridge under 14 footballers who won an Ulster title in the Sela. I have been asked to look at maybe hosting a reception for those groups. The hurlers have suggested that September might be a better date, just when everybody is back to school and what have you, but I will be in touch with the other groups in the meantime. Anybody else has any other requests like that, if they contact myself or Sheila, and we'll do what we can to facilitate everybody. Okay, any declarations of interest? No. Item 3 is our action sheet, and Liam, have you want to walk us through that?
Chairman, I suppose just in terms of to pick up a number of the actions, in terms of the, just to pick up in terms of we did attend the Shannon regarding making a presentation regarding the Brexit issues, and again got well received to know that Chairperson attended that there along with chairs from across all the border council areas. I know there's a publication of the report this week on to it, again, which will represent our views, but certainly worked very successfully. In terms of the other issue that probably is outstanding is the recommendation regarding the Health Committee, and again, we hope to bring a paper to SPNR in August in regard to that. And finally, the notice of motion regarding the reduction in education budgets. We're arranging for a party leaders meeting with the relevant, first of all, with a number of the schools looking for representatives from the maintained sector, the controlled sector, the integrated sector, the Irish language sector, again, both secondary and primary, so we can gather the information so then we can set up a meeting with the Education Authority and CCMS to actually discuss that. Again, conscious that really in terms of the political gap, again, probably to go to the letters going to Secretary of State, but again, to follow that up, following on from that level of consultation. But just to say that's underway. And the issue in terms of the resumption of the Dunpatrick Master Plan is on the agenda for the August ART Committee.
Okay, thank you, Liam. Okay, so we are moving on to item 4, which is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 5th of June. We'll go through them first just for accuracy. We have page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and page 9. Have we a proposer and seconder? Just proposer Robert and seconder Garth. Okay, any issues arising?
We were dealt with the action sheet.
Okay, that's okay. Item 5 then is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 29th of May. And again, we'll go through them just for accuracy. We have page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay, 6, okay, and have we a proposer and seconder for that, just for accuracy? We're giving me a new sheet of paper here. Okay.
Item
5.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah, yeah. Go ahead, yeah.
Item 5 is the minutes of the annual general meeting, which was held on Thursday the 1st of June.
Proposed.
Seconder. Okay. And then we don't need to go through that. Everybody's happy with that. And then item 6, did you give me this delivery?
Yes,
give me the wrong sheet of paper. Item 6. And item 7. Item 7 is the minutes of the ERT meeting held on the 12th of June. And we're just going to go through them for accuracy. It's page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and page 12. Can we have a proposer and seconder for accuracy? Proposed. And have we matters arising?
When you go through ERT, you see there's a number of items there that were taken in committee. And if you're not on that committee, obviously you have no idea what was said or what was discussed or what reports were presented, you know, that were so confidential that you had to go into committee. And
there's nothing taken in committee.
Was actually taken on committee, Henry.
An ERT?
Yeah.
Councillor Rehan seconded by Councillor Dorn. It was agreed the committee come out of closed session. Well, closed session then, if you want to call it that.
Okay. But
it's just there's
where is this, Henry?
Henry,
sorry.
Oh, sorry, you're an ERT.
ERT, yeah. Okay. Right. Just turn out your lights there, Henry. Jarlath.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, page 10, I have an issue there with the proposed trail network in the Sterba Forest. Chair, just to inform you and the rest of the members, the DEA councillors, Chair, have a meeting lined up for later on in the month with Director Marie and her senior staff to discuss the overall operation on issues pertaining to the mountain biking tour. So I was actually looking, Chair, to see could this item be withheld from ratification until that meeting takes place, Chair. And I'm happy to propose that if that's possible.
Okay. Jacqueline?
Yeah, well, just for information to the Jarl, I mean, it may be a bit misunderstanding taken from the term trail network. That referred to walking trails. Primarily, I think it is stepping out a whole new set of walking trails around the Pinhold Mountain that aren't there currently at present. So it's in deference to the lobby for more walking in the forest park that's on inside that whole mountain. So maybe that'll help you out, Charlotte.
Okay, are you happy enough then, Charlotte, that we move on? Yep. Oh. And we again are just going for accuracy here at the minute. We have page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, page 8, 9, 10, 11, and page 12. There's also 12, 8A.
Chairman, in terms of the committee, we have got we have done some work in terms of a couple of our papers filed and discussions at the SPR committee. So to take the addendum to the paper regarding options for undertaking LDP sustainability appraisal, incorporating the strategic environmental assessment. Following the meeting, the officers had raised, the members had raised some queries, which we again discussed with the options. The officers responsible, and again the issue was option 3 as opposed to option 5. Officers were recommending option 5, but when we looked at option 3, the issue we have, to paraphrase, was that the details within the report, but the issue was that in terms of the environmental support, there's two critical issues here. First of all is the private consultant to work with their own staff. Given that the biggest issue regarding judicial reviews regarding development plans tends to be around the environmental area, so there needs to be a level of distance between our planning staff and indeed the environmental assessment. Second point is, it's not an issue of appointing one officer. What you need to do is appoint a number of officers across a range of disciplines. So members will be aware that environmental assessments, you have issues in terms of habitat, you have issues in terms of biodiversity, you have issues in terms of landscape quality, and they are all different specialisms which would have to be purchased. So in terms of the costs, dramatically increase in terms of the level of planning staff. So to actually meet that requirement. Then on top of that then, Chairman, is also we have a service level agreement. Part of the rationale for shared services is actually to try and use a shared service resource. So whereby Ballymena and Middle East Antrim Council provide an environmental services section which actually is staffed up with people with them requirements who were transferred out of the Northern Ireland Environment Agency on transfer to actually provide that staff. They are bringing in, so they can buy a complement staff who give us that level of independence, but also give us a range of speciality services, which we couldn't do. If we were to do it ourselves, then we're employing people full time across a number of disciplines, and there really would be a lack of value for money. So, Mayor Chairman, we come back to recommend that we really do consider, you know, option 5, which is to engage the shared services.
Okay. Councillor Sheridan, you want to come in there?
Yes, Chair. I was one of the MCA councillors that questioned the report that came to SDNR. I have a couple of questions around it. What is the typical process for bringing back this amendment that the authors are now proposing? Because we agreed that SPNR and it was proposed and seconded, and then somehow a updated report went to the planning committee the following week. And within my experience of council, that has never happened. The minutes of the meeting should have been brought to the council, and then the officers would have had the opportunity to make those suggestions and actually give us an appropriate report that actually informed us of the information. So, going back to the SPR, thankfully, the SDLP did scrutinise the original document, or we would have been approving a council report that was incorrect and not actually informative. We could have been approving option 5 that didn't actually detail what Liam has just actually mentioned there. So it's just an understanding of what the procedures are for bringing a report following a committee meeting to another committee a week after. And then obviously, what are we going to learn from the first report and our lessons so that we don't get poor quality reports in the future?
Chairman, just to remind the member that the Planning Committee's role is to oversee planning within the organisation. So the Planning Committee always receive copies of all issues regarding papers regarding planning. So FPR is the decision making body, the Planning Committee is the consultation planning in terms of policy. Certainly after the last meeting, and again I apologise for the incorrect information that was put in the paper, certainly after the committee meeting we recognised there was changes on it. We were always going to have to bring a paper to the Planning Committee. So rather than bring an out or incorrect paper to the Planning Committee, what was brought to the Planning Committee was the amended version, i.e. this version of the paper, which is the correct version of the paper. So the Planning Committee members will be consulted on the correct information. What we are bringing back to you tonight is, again, you're making the night as a decision-making body. It's correct that you should have the position where you can actually make a decision on the correct information, and that's what we're presenting here tonight. So again, you know, Chairman, people make mistakes and errors, and again, you know, conscious that, you know, the planning is a new function transferring in, you know, there needs to be a level of understanding. When we work in the wider civil service, there wasn't the level of same sort of in terms of processes going through, but again, that is reflected in this committee because we are bringing in, you know, we believe in, again, I think the trust of this council is to actually save money and actually use a shared service facility to do that, and again, that's the recommendation coming forward, Chairman.
Just one other thing on that, Chair. Should the Plan Committee not be consulted before the paper is brought to SPNR? If they're being consulted, should they have not been informed of this options as a report on the Plan Committee, and then those suggestions as a consultee be brought to SPNR, that then would have informed the SPNR committee of what the planning members actually had a thought on the options that were presented?
Probably yes, in hindsight, yeah, it would have been good. I suppose the problem is that we're working against a very strict timeline to move ahead with the local development plan. Needs to say at the planning committee, from the consultation, whether at some point it would have been brought here tonight for members to consider in terms of they want to make any changes to the paper. And indeed, members of the planning committee here tonight would be in a position to take them points forward. But yeah, you know, in hindsight, if we had a lot of time rolling into it, we could do that, but that wasn't the situation here. And in a lot of instances, we actually do come to the planning committee. I think a lot of the things we did in terms of the protocols go beforehand in terms of the operation of the planning committee. But yeah, in hindsight, if we had a lot of time, we could do that.
One last thing. I knew that the plan members were actually invited to SPNR, so they could have actually came to the meeting themselves and fed into it. Thank you.
Okay. We anybody else? Nobody else indicating? Oh, sorry. No, it's not. I'm not getting you up here, Henry. Go ahead.
Henry, go ahead.
Firstly, on the planning issue, Madam Chair, I would just I would like the council to exercise caution in what powers it gives to planning officials and how the council manages planning, because without an overstatement, this council area is getting such a bad reputation within the development community that you know, they're avoiding here now rather than actually come down and want to develop new facilities and whatever. And people tell me that in comparison to the other councils in Northern Ireland that were exceptionally bad. And it's, the process has been described as like walking through treacle in hobnail boots. So that came from a very well-respected man within that business. The other issue on that, Madam Chair, I raised it earlier, and again, the Wi-Fi in here mustn't be that good because it's very, very slow to bring these things up. But the necessity to go into committee, you know, that is worrying. all in so many instances. Because if you're not on that committee, you don't have any idea whatsoever what was discussed, what reports were brought to that committee. And, you know, if you just give it a nod in here tonight, then, you know, you could be agreeing to anything, basically. And if that could come back to bite councillors, then, you know, should councillors who aren't in that committee, should they abstain from these, you know, should there be recorded votes with the councillors abstaining? Because if you're not in, you know, if something does come back to bite us, you know, would the relevant powers take into consideration? But I didn't know. I don't think they would. They would say, look, you're an elected councillor under that council, you're meant to know what's going on. And I think that's quite worrying, Madam Chair. Also, on the consultation response for the Forest McGilga, you know, the funding for Irish language centres, was that circulated? Because I don't recall it coming out for consultation. Maybe it was, but certainly I don't remember it coming out. But those are just some of the issues then. Could Dorina please also explain the reactionary funds spend? What is that? Because I'd be interested to know what that means. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Henry. First of all, I think Liam is going to address some of the issues.
One of the points is in terms of Councillor Riley's comments regarding the planning service. I think if he looks at the Department for Infrastructure's quarterly report, which was produced last week, actually shows that we're the second highest number of applications after Belfast in terms of the area. Also in terms of performance, where we were under the Department of Environment, we've improved our performance drastically, and that's independently assessed by the Department of Infrastructure. So I really don't want the message coming out here is that we're working through treatment and planning. We've certainly made major inroads in terms of the backlog of 1,600, which came across the Department. We're now down at 980 and reducing on a weekly basis. And we've brought more staff in, both to support planning in terms of development and also in terms of enforcement. So I think that, you know, in terms of people need to realise that this is a very active council in terms of dealing with planning applications, second only to Belfast, and that reflects in terms of the development. And indeed, that's to be welcomed because it brings more work, more jobs, more investment into the council area. Secondly, in terms of the issue regarding in committee items, I can refer the member to the Local Government Act 2014, Schedule 6, Access to Information, Exempt Information, and it clearly states what are the exempt information. We do not put things into committee if they can be dealt with. As a matter of fact, you know, there's a number of papers which are on SPNR, which we actually, you could have argued going to exempt. I example the Newry bid, which would be people that want us to put it to exempt. That was dealt with in open session. But we have bits from a legal perspective we need to deal with in committee. But members get copies of all the papers. You will see any exempt papers and non-exempt papers in terms of your documentation. And members, even if they're not in the committee, can come along to hear the debate on that, and on the sufferings of the chairperson, can actually participate in that debate. So hopefully that clarifies that point. I'll maybe point, maybe a hand over to Dorina, maybe to pick up the other issues. Chairman, you know, copies of the papers are sent out to all members. Copies of minutes are sent to all papers. There's nothing to stop. And indeed, at many committee meetings, members who are not members of that committee go to attend the meetings in terms of listening to the meetings. All our meetings are in public. The issue is that members won't, if you're not in the committee, you won't get expenses for attending that committee. But there is nothing to stop the member from attending that committee if they so wish to be in and part of the debate and have a discussion as part of it, again, under sufferance of the member. That's available.
There's not too many council officers who will travel on their roads or not.
Okay, thanks, sir. On a couple of the items on
the reactionary fund, I suppose in answer to your question, Councillor, with regard to the reactionary fund, the reactionary fund was some funding that came to the Legacy Newry and Mourne Council under the P3 initiative. The actual issue that was brought to SPNR that night was a closed session item, so to go into any further detail we would need to go into closed session. but that the nature of the fund was a P3 fund to the Legacy Nuremberg and Warren Council. So that answers your question, or if you're trying to get at what was discussed on the night, but it is a closed session item, so we would have to go into closed session to... Yeah, the papers are there, they're in SPNR, I just called them up this evening, so you can go in and read the paper and see what was discussed on the night. With regard to the Forest na Gaeilge consultation, again, similarly, that came to the May SPNR as a consultation document, and it was there for noting. There was then a further month that members were asked to bring any comments back, and it came back to the June SPNR with the proposed council consultation responses, and they were approved by the committee to be returned to Forest na Gaeilge following that June meeting, obviously subject to ratification then tonight. So again, the consultation was at the two meetings of SPNR, May and June.
Dorina also needs to take item 8B, the Newry bid.
Forest, please, Dorina, just for another.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. You'll see from the minutes that officers requested were to bring back further information with regard to the proposal to appoint a debt collection officer. You'll see from the paper in front of you, members, that we've gone away and further considered the legal options available to council. And the bid operating agreement that council have entered into with the Newry bid company, it's very clear on the duty that that imposes on council to take steps to collect the bid-related debt. Therefore, the legal obligation of council in this regard is quite clear. And really, this is a question of resource and how we resource going forward with the next stages of the debt recovery, which we have committed to undertake on behalf of the bid. So again, what you'll see from the proposal in front of you is that because we're entering into the next stages of debt recovery, that we are proposing to appoint someone on a temporary basis, and the bid company have agreed to charge the salary of that, so it's a cost-neutral option for council. So again, we're looking for a proposer and a seconder.
Folks, we now need a proposer and a seconder for the recommendations of the committee, with the exception of the two items that have the amendments, so we can have the proposer and the seconder for the main body of the committee, and after that Liam is going to read out the two amendments, and then we'll take a proposer and a seconder for those. So can we have someone to propose and second the main body of the meeting? Okay, and then I'm going to ask Liam to read out the two amendments so everyone is clear. Okay.
Chairman, the first recommendation is regard to the addendum report on the sustainability appraisal incorporating strategic environmental assessment, and the recommendation is that members are requested to note the content and agree the preferred option, option 5, to engage the shared services amid an East Antrim Council's environmental plan team prepare a service level agreement to take forward the entire local development plan process. And then the other recommendation is to
Members are asked to note the content of the report and agree to the appointment of a debt collection officer to collect outstanding debt in relation to the Newry bid, the appointment being a temporary basis for 3 months.
Chair, on a point of clarity, I'm happy to propose or second it. Just on with regard to the LDP, and it's just what concerns me about it is, okay, Mid and East Antrim as environmental planning teams involved in that, they're also giving assistance to a number of other councils, and time is of the essence to get our own LDP in place, because we already seconded some staff initially from that team to help out with the backlog and planning. I know those staff are returned, but the point that worries me is where are we in the queue when we come to look for Mid and East Antrim's environmental services support, sustainability assessment, where are we in the queue with regard to other councils? And I'm just wondering, will that have an impact upon the delivery, the ultimate delivery of the LDP?
I don't know about Anthony, can respond to that there in terms of the service.
The the Shared Environmental Service team are contracted to work for a number of councillors, but they have staffed themselves up in a manner that they can service those needs effectively. There will be dedicated officers appointed in the event that this addendum or recommendation is agreed. We will have dedicated officers in SES who will be working on our development plan, so they will be available as and when we require them. So there's no danger that we'd be stuck in a queue until they're available.
Okay, we have a proposal with Councillor Ruan. Can we have
a second?
Councillor Craig, you're happy to move on. Okay.
All agreed, Chairman.
All agreed? Yep. Item 9 on the agenda then, the minutes from the Active and Healthy Communities. I'm going to take them for accuracy first of all, and then I think Michael Lipset wants to come in, if Michael would like to join us. We'll just take it page by page for accuracy before I hand over to Michael. We have page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 and 12. Michael, you want to come in just with a bit of clarity on something first before we propose and second? Are you happy enough?
Yeah, thank you, sir. In discussions with the party groupings and with the chair of the committee, I've been asked to emphasise that we're talking about indoor leisure fitness suite operating arrangements. I've been asked to emphasise that this only applies to the fitness suite and unlimited access to the swimming pool, to the sauna and steam room and jacuzzi are unaffected, and will the £3.60 per year will still apply to that. So there's unlimited access to everything else, it's just the fitness suites. This is to reflect the investment that the council is putting into the new fitness suites. I've also been asked to say that in the case of Downpatrick Leisure Centre, it's proposed that we defer the £15 charge per month in Downpatrick until the new fitness suite opens. So, Chair, I've just been asked to emphasise that. Also, members should be aware that this doesn't affect the GP referral scheme. So any individual, whether they're over the age of 60 or not, if they're referred by their GP to the fitness suite, they'll get free access to the fitness suite also. So I've been asked to emphasise those things, Chair.
Okay, that was just for clarity. So can we have a proposer and a seconder for the accuracy of the notes?
Chairperson, with that clarification, I think that...
Can we just have a seconder for the accuracy of the notes, first of all, Cadogan, and then I will take matters arising? Councillor Kibbins. Okay. Cadogan, do you have an issue you want to raise?
Well, let's welcome that clarification. I still think that if you're on a standard rate pension of between £120 and £150, a £15 a month hit for the leisure centre for the older people who do use the Downpatrick Centre will be quite a strong hit. I recognise that we've had a significant change over the original proposal, and that swimming and sauna continues at £360 a year, and that's good. I also recognise what Michael said there tonight, that if you have a referral from your GP, you can still get access for free to the fitness centre, which is good, but still, I think with a long-standing policy of pensioners having free or near-free access in the down area to all aspects of the leisure centre, it's a big change just to move from that without considering why we were doing it, and what were the health considerations behind it, and why is it that Down Council came to this conclusion. We even had a situation up until the £3.60 rate was introduced where for a tenner, on reaching the age of 65, you could actually have lifetime membership of the leisure centre for free. So we did this for a reason. The reason was we wanted to make sure older people were kept healthy and active. Now, I understand we have to come up with a policy that applies across the council. I understand that management had made a big effort to try and ameliorate their proposal in the way Michael has described. But it would seem to me that that policy we had in Down Council would do well to be extended across to Newry and Mourne as well, rather than hitting a flat rate. But as I say, Michael, that was a good clarification, and clearly it reduces the shock of what might have been the original proposal. But I would say that we do need to still think about the access to the gym as well. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Have we any other Councillor Burns?
Chair, thanks very much. I suppose that we appreciate Michael's clarification as well. He's put a wee bit more meat on the bone in regards to the discussion that was taking place. Just maybe to add to it, to say that also in discussion it was mentioned that this is something that we would look at initially, of course, and we'll keep it under review because, like everything, when we come to a new facility, we want to look and see what effect they'll have on numbers and different things like that. We're not trying to discriminate against anybody, and we are still the lowest priced council both in the north and in the border areas. We've tested it along that way, so I'm not sure if he needs somebody to propose. Because it's not really an amendment, it's more of a clarification. But if you need to propose, just to tidy it up, I'm happy to propose.
Okay. Councillor Walker?
Chair, I also welcome the Director's clarification and in relation to it. The unfortunate thing is, there is councillors out there that go out and scaremonger and have hyped up a lot of tension within the over 60s. So they have, because as chair of the committee, I've received dozens of emails, dozens of phone calls in relation to it. And I made it clear to them, like one particular group contacted me in relation to it and saying, oh, we're going to have to pay £15 a month to go in and to do bowls. I says, no, that's not the case. That is not the case. And that, well, we were told by a councillor that right across the board, if you're over 60, you're going to have to pay the £15. So I welcome the clarification. And councillors shouldn't go out there and scaremonger and hype tensions up, you know. And I do think also that council should also get it out there that the GP referral scheme is open there. Maybe a lot of people could be referred by their GPs to it, which means they can avail of it free of charge. So I would encourage people, if they feel that, you know, they need to be referred by their GP, to go to their GP and get referred. But I appeal to councillors, don't go out there and scaremonger. Then people know who they are and they know who I'm talking about. Don't go out there and scaremonger and hype people and get people all hyped up.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair. And I'll second the proposal by Councillor Burns. I think the clarification that Michael has provided was similar to what I was going to propose. Anyhow, what I think is fair is that we need to allow the building in Downpatrick to finish and then to justify such an increase, you know, to propose such an increase to £15 a month. Against what it was is significant and would be unfair for what facilities we have at the moment. So I do welcome the clarification and, as I say, second the proposal.
Okay, thank you. As I say, I think Michael has sort of covered most of the points that you are raising. Councillor McAtee.
Yeah, it was just and it's sort of semi related to that. Could I just ask Michael, you know, when we do set up the new leisure centre in Uri and the new gym, we have pricing control over the gym, you know, so we set the rates. But just that it was brought to my attention that the pricing regime has changed in there at the moment for the use of the gym. From, I think the option could have been to use, or sorry, to purchase a 2-week or a 4-week plan as such, and that was removed, and it was felt that the option there for maybe students or people who are transitory workers who were passing through or coming through into Newry weren't able to avail of that 2-week or 4-week rate, and actually we were losing trade over it because it's currently sitting at £10 a day, you know. So just to clarify, will we be resetting the rates when that opens?
Michael, do you
want to
answer that?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair, that's the whole point. Before coming through, the fitness suite will come under the Council's control when the new centre opens towards the end of the autumn. And it's good news for all those in Uri because currently those over 60 are paying £30 a month, I believe it is, so it's about a 50% discount on what they're currently paying. And the Council has full control over all the rates and the operating of that fitness suite from there on in.
Thank you, Michael.
Councillor Sharvin, you have indicated the committee again. You know,
it's a different item, Chair. Obviously, the remaining members were discussing on the item of the Ledge Centre prices. And
right.
This is a separate item, unless there's other councillors that wish to speak on this.
Has everybody else finished on the leisure centre and the charges? Okay. We have a proposer and a seconder. If we needed a proposer and a seconder, that has already been done by Councillor Burns and Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Sharvin, what is your comment that you want to make?
It's in referral to the community facility in Ballycanner, Chair. Obviously, welcome that we're going to put in a short-term facility there. Although it's not the facility that we envisage from a council's point of view, and the facility will support certainly the group that is in existence to allow them to meet away from sitting in a chip shop. What I want to ask of the director is what is our next steps and how long is short-term temporary? Obviously, we don't want the facility becoming a long legacy of being there for a year, 2 years. How quickly can we start moving, support the group, getting external funding, and then using the funding that's in the rates to actually get a permanent building in place?
Thank you, Chair. First thing, Chair, it's important to note that any move of this building to Ballykindler is subject to detailed costings around exactly what that will cost to move it and rehouse it and connect it to the services and so on, and also to structural survey being carried out. So, and once we have obtained those costs, that will obviously go back to the committee for final approval. That said, the idea is, as has been pointed out, the group, there was a very strong and active group in Ballykindler a number of years back. They've dwindled over the years. The issue is they've nowhere to meet, and because of that, we're very concerned that if this carries on for any longer, that there won't be a group there that will be able to access funding. So the idea is that this would be very temporary. It's there in order to build the capacity of the group to allow them to seek funding to build, I believe, a sports hall is one of the things that's required, and other proper accommodation. So we will start working with the group immediately on that. It's then a matter of how soon we can access funding. So with those two things in mind, Chair, that's...
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, we have proposer and seconder. Is anybody against? Okay, everybody's happy to accept the clarity. And Michael, I thank you for giving us that clarity at the start, okay? Item 10 is the minutes from the RT&S committee, which was held on the 21st of June. Again, just for clarity, we'll go through it page by page. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and page 9. Could I have a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by... Okay, we got those, guys. We got... All right. And any matters arising? Councillor Marnham?
Yeah, Chair. Just on the abandoned boat in Dundrum Bay, I welcome the change in the note there that the boat should be removed for health and safety concerns. But just the expressions of interest we sought for the removal, is that on the basis that, you know, we did have someone come to us a number of months ago that was looking to remove the boat to possibly restore it. But I think the changes that the hull has now half disappeared and things like that, it's really just a salvage operation, or should it not be obtaining costs for the removal of the boat as opposed to expressions of interest for the removal of it? Just a wee bit of clarity on that.
My understanding, again, Chairman, in terms of the removal of the boat was in terms of there's an issue over salvage. There's an issue in terms of we need to take advice from other parties in terms of the removal of the boat, and I think that's why the recommendation was we need to look at the costs and the issues around it. We're now going to proceed to remove the boat, but I think we need to get the recommendation originally from the officers was to look at getting somebody to actually to give us an assessment on the removal of it. But we need to move now to move the vote in terms of the council's position on it. But again, we need to take advice from the various statutory bodies in terms of how we do that.
The recommendation was to assess the condition of it, but make it obvious the condition of it. You just look at it, you know.
I think the assess the condition was to see in terms of what we need to put in terms of a specification in terms of removal. That was the issue in terms of it, because there's an issue in terms of is there a potential environmental damage, or, you know, so we get a false spec of it, you know.
Right. Yeah. So again, the paper's not really detailing exactly what it meant. So maybe it shouldn't have been changed if it hadn't been the right thing. Okay, thank you.
Chair, just on item the brown bins in urban areas, paper was brought forward and it was agreed that it would be rolled out. Just to the officer, anyone within the urban areas that hasn't got a brown bin or never got one through the old legacy councils, I take it they must phone up. Obviously they have to phone up, but do they have to come themselves and collect them? So they do, or do the council deliver it to them, you know, at a charge? And that
Chair, you actually find that, you know, since we put in the rural brown bins, there's been a number of householders in the urban area who come back to us to ask for bins, and at the moment we're talking about 1,600 right across the whole district. So all we say is that we would be, that once it's been confirmed that we can purchase the bins and give them out, we can do that. If anyone wants a bin right away, they can they'd need to be registered, but they can call on the Green Bank or the Strangford Road and pick the bin up. We will try and roll out those bins, and to be honest, to try and keep the cost down, we were going to do it over a matter of Thursday weeks, maybe even a couple of months. So say there'll be no charge for those bins, and ideally if they ring up, register, we'll then see about putting those bins out.
It's just in relation to the brown bins, it's just a wee comment. I'd like to thank the officers in particular for over the past few months. A lot of us have been contacted by very irate members of the public who live in urban areas in relation to the brown bins. And as I say, I'd like to thank you for the paper and for the rollout of the brown bins. No one to say thank you very much for your help in getting this paper put together, and to all our staff who have worked tirelessly in getting the bins rolled out right across the district, and to all concerned, they deserve a pat on the back. It's been a very difficult job, but thanks for the understanding, and well done to all concerned.
Okay, Councillor Quinn.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Could we ensure that the information about the open brown bins is shared with our staff? Because after this item had passed through committee and been agreed, some people had rang in and were told by the staff that no, we weren't going to be giving out brown bins to urban dwellers.
Certainly, Chair, we'll do that. We'll speak to the staff to make them aware of it. And to be honest, we can't really do anything until it's passed by this meeting. So once Thursday it gets passed by this meeting, then certainly we'll make the staff aware.
Okay, Councillor Ruan.
Thank you, Chairman. It's just in relation to the report, the options for glossary segment. I'd just like to put an amendment to the proposal that we appoint an independent consultant, and I would actually propose that we accept the option one that was put before us at the committee meeting previously. So I make that a proposal.
Okay. We have a proposal. That will be a seconder. And that's seconded by Councillor Burns. Okay. Councillor McHugh, you in the same issue or something?
No, it was actually just before you get off the brown bins, just to make Joe aware that there's still something badly wrong in terms of the brown bin collection. Now, I've had complaints over the last week that I know in the Drumgaff Barmean area that there's a road there the bins were delivered apparently around the beginning of May, but no collection. And I think there's been one collection since then, and then some of those were missed, and I've been attempting to get a bin or a couple of bins collected since that without any success.
Okay, Councillor, I'm sure Joe, you've really taken note of that, and see if you can come back to Councillor McTeer unless you have the information at your fingertips, but if not, we will just make sure you come back to him on that. Okay. Councillor Craig.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, just before you maybe move on to Councillor Rand's proposal, I was just wanting to ask, really, I see the recommendation in the minutes is to bring in a consultant to look at glass in the blue bin. And I would really like to ask the officer, what actually would a consultant bring to the table? Is there an information gap? Is there a loss of information? Is there something that, as officers, they don't have that a consultant could bring to the table to inform us? Or have we got as much information as we need at this moment in time?
Maybe, Chairman, I'll start off. You know, this is something that, again, we've been discussing over the last 6 months, and we've brought various revised papers forward onto it. Again, you know, in terms of this has been particularly driven by officers at this point in time, Canis being the director at that time, now Canis is gone. Adam Wilkinson, a new director, will be taking up and leading forward on that there with Joe. But again, Joe might want to pick up in terms of the information that's been provided in the various sets of papers that went both to RTS previously, to the recent RTS, and indeed a couple of papers that actually went to the party reps meeting on that.
Yep.
Sure, I think the difficulty's really been with the glass going in with the blue bins, and that would go against the tape, and also what the department would recommend is that the glass kept separate from things like paper and cardboard. So I say that would be the main concern. The other thing is it was really looking for an independent consultant. You would normally find for ourselves we maybe use ARC21 or RAP, but again they would be looking at what the department would want, and that there is basically keeping the glass out. So you could bring in a consultant, but again, there would be associated costs with that, and really from that you would see that there might be four options. We have went out there at the moment. I've had initial costs saying that it would maybe cost something in the region of about £4,000 to do that, and it would take a couple of months. But again, the difficulty with that is that can then push things back. And if you remember in this particular blue bin tender, that tender is actually up at the end of March. Now, there's a monthly, month by month, you can basically put it on further. But again, there is a timeline there. And again, what I would say is that if you do stretch it out with consultants and that type of thing, we do have to hit the 50% recycling target for 2020. And at the moment, we're sitting at around about 40%. So while we can bring consultants in, if there is a cost to it, and it could actually, at the end of the day, create more time or a little tail that we may not meet the 2020 target.
Sir, thanks for your indulgence, Chair. Joe mentioned about RAP and about ARC21. I was actually at a RAP seminar where they were saying that all the processors are actually looking at quality product, for instance in the paper, and if there's co-mingling, they're trying to move away from co-mingling. And if a bottle gets broken, then obviously it's contamination in the paper, and that causes all sorts of problems and issues. And I mean, if we are coming up to a new contract, I would like to see, you know, obviously an increase in the glass and a revaluation of the tender with regards to revenue streams, etc., from glass, etc. So, and I could just say that all the other councils, bar Mid Ulster, have already moved away from co-mingling, looking at separate glass collection. So I think option four would obviously be a non-starter if we're going to be looking at our recycling targets of 50% by 2020. But for me, I felt that there was enough information already there, and I'm just not sure what more a consultant could actually bring to the table, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, it was myself who brought the proposal that we go to an economic appraisal and bring in all the four options. I thought, really, given the amount of means, talk about spending some millions of red hair money, and given that we're making a decision here, what will probably impact on the citizens of this district for some decades to come, and also given the fact that for a lot of our citizens, really, the only interaction they have with our local council is, in fact, waste collection and bin collection. So
So given those, taking those things into consideration, Chair, I did feel there was not, I felt there was not enough information, and my colleagues felt there wasn't enough information. We are talking about a 2-3 page report here, going to spend some millions of pounds. It will affect our citizens for some years to come. An economic appraisal is not an unusual mechanism to use. I felt an independent voice coming in to look at it and presenting, you know, there was a lot of variables there in terms of bringing out more in terms of sort of grant money. It's the touch of grant money that might be available and not, it might not be available. That really wasn't factoring in properly. So I didn't feel we had enough information. And given the fact that we're going to spend, like I say, X million pounds, I thought it was prudent, Chair, and what it meant good in terms of financially for us to look, bring it in, it wouldn't cost a fortune. Stand back. If we're going to make a decision here, let's make the right one with the right information, Chair. So I would ask that colleagues, seriously, it's not unreasonable thing to ask for an independent economic appraisal for something, spend money of this, red pilled money of this level, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Carr. Okay.
Councillor Brown, apologies. Both your light and Councillor Carr's for some reason went red. And
no worries, Michael. So I apologise there before me. No bother. Thanks, Chair. Our party grouping will be supporting the amendments. We do not feel that going out for a consultation on this is value for money, given that a fourth option wouldn't be viable due to departmental recommendations. But I just wanted to clarify with Joe, is that a legislative requirement or is that a recommendation by the department in order to meet targets by 2020? And also two more questions, if you don't mind, Joe. We had budgeted for new waste management vehicles in the rates process this year. How many vehicles were budgeted for and what year were they budgeted for in the rates? Just because I realise we're dipping into reserves for these ones, but it would be my argument that we're going to get the vehicles anyway, so there's no harm in doing it now in order to meet the requirements and have the same rollout across the district. And also, just a minor question that my colleague here beside me raised. If someone were to fill up their blue bin to the top with paper waste, can the caddies be set out separately, or do you have to make room in the blue bin for them? And what would be the amount of volume in the bin that would take up? And do you think that would be an inconvenience to anyone with that reduction in space in the blue bin?
Councillor Brown, Mr Parks is going to take two of those questions, and Drina will take the third. Is that okay?
Thank you, Chair. On the 2020 50%, that's basically something that is set out that we do have to meet. And what you'll find is that the government could be actually fined. And if it's fined, then they'll pass those fines on to the respective councils but who do not meet their 50% recycling rate. In relation to the blue bin for the dry recyclables, you tend to find that the standard bin is 240 litre and the glass caddy is 40 litres, so that allows 200 litres worth of space for the dry recyclables like your paper, your cardboard and your cans. And normally that could have an impact in some places, but again, you tend to find that most people put that stuff in, maybe don't break it down. If you do squash your plastic bottles or tin cans and all the other stuff along with it, it should be. And to be honest, it's an absolute delight if we're stuck that people are then recycling so much that it doesn't fit into the blue bin. Again, bear in mind that that helps the recycling targets and it's a cheaper option compared to, say, black bin waste.
Okay, I think Fiddler's Green started early. Serena, you would like to come in on the purchasing of the vehicle?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. We have been looking very closely at the cost of actually the four options, the three that went in detail to the committee and the option four as well. Obviously, the option one is the one that has the biggest capital cost to council, and obviously I've looked at that in some detail. Just to remind members, when we went through the rate setting process last year, what members agreed to was a four-year capital programme, and there was some $2 million put into that capital programme for the purchase of vehicles over the next 4 years. And we actually were carrying close to $4 million, sorry, to $2 million in relation to the 16-17 year. And what that means, if you recall, we ended up with a headline capital figure of $101 million. Of that, members have already set aside over £10 million to purchase vehicles over the course of the next 4 years. What option one is essentially doing is reprofiling that spend. You'd always envisaged that you were going to spend close to $10 million. We have done all our affordability calculations on the basis of that total four-year spend, and actually the proposal of option one does not actually alter that in totality. It's a slight difference in when you will purchase those vehicles. Those party leaders will know that when we talked about this, you know, a number of months back, the one thing, because I had only seen it quite recently, was my one concern was whether or not that would impact on any borrowings. So we've gone back and looked at that in some detail, and because of the way the assumptions that we had made with regard to the rate setting process, I'm confident that we can purchase the 14 vehicles that we're talking about under option one within your current capital programme with no significant impact on the four-year rate programme that was envisaged at the time that we struck the rate. Because really we have to think about a four-year programme and not a one-year. It's all about the four-year and how we borrow against that. So we've looked at that very closely. With regard to the point about grant aid, I suppose the one thing that when I questioned Joe quite significantly about this, and Joe's got a bit of a grin from himself, the grant aid will be uncertain until such times as an executive can actually confirm whether or not that will be in place. So there will be an element of uncertainty. Certainly it would be our intention to pursue as rigorously as we could any application for grant aid, but the certainty with that will only come from the executive, and that's something that we can't commit to at this point. So hopefully that's been of some assistance, members.
Okay, thank you, Doreen. Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair. A couple of things. I'm not part of that committee, and I don't see it in the minutes or in the report. But do we actually have recycling figures for the brown bin now and what the estimates are going forward? Do we have what the blue bin is now and what it could be going forward? And then the black bin now and what could be going forward? And that is essential information that actually I've been told it hasn't been included in the report, so how can we make a decision on that? Picking up on Councillor Brown's and Joe's response, where he mentions the 50% recycling target, my understanding is, Joe, and you can correct me, If we were to go over that, so say we were at 55%, as we are part of ARC21, any associate council to ARC21 that is below the 50% can actually pick up what we are over. And so actually we wouldn't be fined, because another council is associated to ARC21 would be enabled to actually take that leverage off us, resulting in no fine being issued against the council. Then moving forward to the next part is around the money. So I'm glad Dorina's brought up about that, because at the audit committee, Dorina, Ken detailed what our accounts were, and it was very useful. But we were informed, and I hope the acronym is right, our MRP. So our reserves have to be at a certain level against what we need as a council. If we're removing $3 million against our reserves for this, and we can assume that that's what the cost will be, given that there's uncertainty about a grant aid. So council members need to be mindful that if you're hoping $3 million is the worst case scenario and the grant aid may come along, it's unlikely that it will, given that we haven't had a deal anywhere in Stirling at the moment. So $3 million is 6% on the rates right across the district, because we were always informed that $500,000 is 1% on the rates, so 6%. So, Doreen, if you could answer around, if we take $3 million from the reserves that we have, will we actually be in breach of our MRP set standard, as mentioned? Joe, if you can clarify on the 50%, if the ARC21 fellow councils can actually take that leverage if we do go over it and no fine can be issued, and then around the recycle figures of what we estimate, because we're making a lot of guesses that the independent consultant may actually be able to clarify.
Okay. Joe, would you like to take your question first, please?
Yes, Chair. Just on the 50% on ARC21, what you found was that there was also, we're talking about recycling targets, but there's also what's known as NILAS, and that's the Northern Ireland Landfill Allowance Scheme for councils. And normally that's what would have happened within ARC21, where if a council had landfilled more than it should have, but basically they could have then borrowed off other councils. Mm-hmm. And that has happened over the last couple of years in relation to that. But if that has to do with NILAS, on the recycling, I'm not too sure whether that would actually apply. Certainly I haven't heard anything, and it's something that I will go and check on just to see where we stand on that particular one. In relation to the recycling targets, we have taken into consideration the recycling end of things, and the brown bin would be the one I would use. Again, as you all know, that we have actually put brown bins out to 27,500 households in the rural area. In the month of May there, we actually saw about 150 tonnes worth of variation of basically where what was going into the black bin has now moved, and food waste has now moved into the brown bin. And again, that's helped the recycling side of things and targets. The other thing is, why it's so difficult to do, it's really making sure that this stuff moves. And really, the problem you have is that the black bin, the residual waste contracts are normally the most expensive. And again, if you can take that stuff and move it from the black bin into your blue bin or your brown bin, and in the case of the food waste, it goes to the brown. In the case of the glass, we're looking to try and move it into the blue. We have done some figures on it. What I would say is that, you know, if especially the down area, if you don't have the, at the moment, all you do is go to the recycling points. So you'd maybe find a lot of that glass is actually going into the black bin. Now, if we do something like option one, that will actually help promote the glass into the blue bin. The other thing you have to bear in mind is on costs. As I say again, if you actually have the pod system, that means that you could actually be prepared for the glass because you're lifting it separate, or it'd be cost neutral. As once you go towards the blue bin with the glass in, you are getting a far higher charge for that. And let's say if it works more towards where the glass is out, it will work out better. So we have taken into consideration the tonnage figures, but it is something that is difficult to put an exact figure on.
Serena?
Just to clarify, Councillor, the MRP that you refer to is I suppose essentially how we finance our capital programme. What we're saying is that in the 4-year capital programme on which you struck your rate last year, there's 10 million in that 4-year programme for the purchase of vehicles. So we're not talking about taking £3 million out of reserves in any one given year. What we're saying is that the cost of purchasing these vehicles can be done within the 10 million that you've already set aside,
mm-hmm.
and we've based our MRP calculations on that 10 million that's already set aside. So we're not talking about a one-off dip into reserves, mm-hmm. if you like, to the tune of 3 million. So essentially, the 10 million that's already set aside that has been accounted for as part of your 4-year programme, it did at that point in time envisage a sort of 2 million spend,
yep.
for last year and the 4 years. We're talking about actually profiling that spend,
mm-hmm.
differently, but not affecting the overall spend and therefore not affecting the overall MRP that we've calculated. Every year we will go back through the capital programme, we'll look at what we don't wish to do,
mm-hmm.
but we will always then look at the impact that that has going forward. So it's not about a one-off 3 million coming out of reserves and therefore there'll not be a 6% a effect to the rate payer. It's already included within your capital programme.
And I accept that, Drina, but obviously that 10 million was set aside by something that the department wished to do over a 4-year term.
Yep.
So we're obviously losing some sort of machinery because we're compensating for these purchases.
No, if you recall, during the reassessment process, I think Kenneth spoke a number of times about the age of the fleet that we currently have and the fact that he wished to he was budgeting to replace that fleet on a rolling basis. So rather than go out in 1 year and buy a whole new fleet, he's envisaging buying a number of lorries year after year after year to get to a point where we had a fully replenished fleet.
Mm.
With this option one, where we wish to start a new service as of next year, what we're really then proposing to do is instead of going out and buying 4 to 6 spin lorries year after year, we will go out, probably fall into the 18-19 year and buy 14 bin lorries in that 1 year. So it is the same overall effect within your 4-year window, but just a slightly different timing than first envisaged.
Okay. Didn't know we were replacing 14 bin lorries.
That's okay. Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. To the director, Joe, what age and condition is our current fleet in, and is this not really an opportunity to renew our fleet now, because it's going to have to be done anyway? We've heard fines mentioned, so we have coming down the line further on. You know, if we don't replace them now, will we then be under more serious pressure to replace them because of fines if we're not reaching our targets? Now, I believe, I know in the old Down District, I believe this is a win-win situation, because we never as a council recycled glass in a sense. People had to go to bottle banks. Now, this is going to be a win-win situation for this end of the district. So it will, because people will be able to recycle within their bins. So they will. So my belief is, you know, the people at this end of the district are on to a winner in relation to it. But what are the age of our fleet, you know, and will we have major problems if we don't replace them now with these fines coming down the line?
Basically, the fleet, I have to say, over the last number of years, we are getting better at it. But we do have around about 13 or 14 vehicles which are over the 8-year mark. Normally for ourselves, what we do is, the idea was that we'd have a vehicle would last 7 years plus one as a spare, which would be 8 years. So we'll see, at the moment we actually have 13 to 14 vehicles in that category. Whenever they get that age group, you find that there's more maintenance costs and more downtime. there's a cost to the garage settings, but also downtime means that lorries aren't out there emptying bins, and they can have an impact on the service. So there is an opportunity now to get these 14 vehicles, get them in, and then bring the age profile in the 8 years and below. As I say, at the moment we have about 13, 14 vehicles sitting over the 8 year mark, which basically would use as a line of sand of when you should actually dispose of the vehicle.
Chair, just to pick up on that, Joe, I thank you for that there, because as you know, part of the problem is at the minute, and all councillors know it, and all councillors in this chamber, I'm sure, has phoned up to say that Joe Bloggs' bin hasn't been lifted, or wee Maggie's bin hasn't been lifted and that. And part of the problem is that because of the age of the fleet, they're breaking down. Our poor refuge collection team are getting the blame of that. It's no fault of theirs. So, you know, the same councillors that's maybe talking about against this, or maybe the same councillors that are phoning up to turn around and say, why was the bins not lifted in Sloan Crescent, Killay, or why were the bins not lifted in the Flying Horse down Padraig? And that, you know, we have to get real here when it comes to this. You know, if we're not going to go down this route and do it right, you know, for everybody, you know, there's no point in lifting the phone and complaining to staff if Joe Bloggs' bin isn't lifted.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. We have two other councillors indicating. Councillor Burns.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my reason for going for option one is sort of threefold. And I'd say I agree, firstly, with everything as Gareth has said when he made his presentation. And Dermot will be aware as well. Anybody that says not 21 knows that these fines and figures are only going in one direction. I mean, if you even take the Brexit argument and say, well, the European fines for landfill might go away in a Brexit scenario, the reality is that them figures were derived from Westminster and were adopted more by Europe than the other way about. So if anything, the recycling figures that are becoming after Brexit will be higher and there'll be more of an impact, and we'll have to put a lot less stuff into the ground. So, I mean, the three big areas I see this is in cost and service and impact. And cost, from what Doreena was saying tonight, and James was asking the question, is that we can do this without affecting the rate process. We can reprofile what we our current loans and what we've been scheduling of the $2 million a year, and we can do this with very minimal impact, probably no impact to the rates. So, cost-wise, I don't think I think that's good news for us that this can be done. Service, I mean, improved service speaks for itself. No missed bin collections would be one of the big things that I'd be saying. We also will have the chance in regards to our services evening up both sides of the district at this moment in time. And I think when we look at that, you know, that's one of the big problems that we have. One half of the district that they're able to put glass in the blue bin, and one half that are expected to go and can find a bottle back. And that's never going to be an ideal scenario. The impact itself, if we look at that problem, I would say in the Down District there's an enormous amount of people who do go out and find a bottle bank, and credit to them. But there's equally as many, if not more, people who just shove glass into their black bins. And when we looked at the experiment on the brown bins, at the last meeting, we were able to see, as soon as we started doing the food collections, that the tonnage that came out, extra tonnage that we collected in the brown bins, was reflected in tonnage that was reduced from one bin to the other. So we could see that the obviously that food waste was being used in the brown bin. If we take that example and push it into our blue bins, if we can get all the people that are putting glass currently into their black bin in the old Down Council area to simply put it into the new blue bin caddies, then we are going far better for our figures. And the 2020 50% figure is real. And we can't hide from it. We can't, you know, think that if we go and get a consultant, then they're going to tell us any different. That figure is real, and we have to sign up to it, and we will do. So I would urge everybody to take this opportunity. Let's not talk at the desk. Let's not push it back 4 or 5 months to listen to somebody tell us what we already know. The information, we've been told it for months, if not years. It's constant. We know the problems. We know the advantages. So that's why we'll be supporting it.
Okay, Councillor Quinn, you're next.
Yes, thank you, Chair. My question is sort of around health and safety. What's the term of the cabbies for the blue bins? A 40-litre cabbie. That's quite a bit of glass. Does that sit on the top of the blue bin? And could it make the blue bin top-heavy, that if there is a bit of a breeze along some of the more rural and exposed parts of our area, could these bins be getting blown over, spilling all this glass onto the countryside?
Sure, you tend to find that there's a number of councils that are actually used in the pod system in the blue bin. I think the legacy Bonbridge Council have that, and also Larne Borough Council have it. And you'll actually find that with the weight, while it might be you're concerned about being top heavy, at least with that weight in the bin, it'll hold the bin in position. So there should be less problems in relation to that, because you've actually, dare I say, increased the weight of your blue bin in general. We're putting glass on it, and that should help to address that. I'd say the other thing on health and safety is just maybe things of where moving or lifting the glass in and out of the bin, but I say you haven't had anything coming back from other councils saying there's any difficulties with that. And dare I say, there's things like box systems that are out there, and I'll tell you now, if you're on a box system, they definitely do blow up the road. And you never get your box back type of thing. So I think actually the glass would actually help to address the difficulty of things getting blown over.
Okay.
With the way we discussed now, there's less and less packaging. So the blue bin would get lighter as well. And that's why it's a third bin that
you have. Thanks for that, Councillor Quinn. Henry, there is an issue with your light. I appreciate that you are next in, though, so go ahead.
Thank you. Just what Councillor Burns was saying, the fines actually are determined by the European Union, and I would be very hopeful that come 2019, the end of 2019, that we will have national self-determination restored, and we will be able to make a lot of these decisions ourselves. And certainly in terms of recycling, there's got to be a better solution and a more economic solution on the way that we do it at the present time. But I just wanted to ask Dorina, did the council consider contract hire as an option to outright purchase? I'm talking about contract hire, you know, with a maintenance agreement built in. That seems to be what a lot of the companies down the Republic and GB are going for. Also, I would like to see the council really taking the whole bin lorry issue and the staffing issue by the horns, because if you look at the Newry and Mourne Legacy area, we still got task and finish. We still got conditioned overtime. We still got wash and greasing allowances. You know, they're the best paid bin men in the UK, apparently. But with all that, we still have this ongoing problem of delays in collection, really irregular collection, and it causes so much frustration within the community. And I would like the council to make a really determined effort to get these issues sorted, get the whole council across, be it from St Field across McLean, operating under the same system, because we're into our third year now, and fourth year if you want to count the layer. So, you know, I know that these things are difficult, and I'm not getting at Joe in regards to the bin collection, because I know that you are really trying your best to get these issues resolved, but we need to do something dramatic to try and get the standards up. You know, if you go, people in Rough Island, they'll see people commenting on councillors' Facebook pages about the bins being missed and Mourne all the time. And they'll be saying, how come ours are never missed? You know, we got a far better council than you in the ABC. And I think that's an unfair comment, because we have a particular set of problems here. But certainly I would like Dorina to mention if you did look at contract hire with inbuilt servicing, because those lorries are costing $220,000 each, going by the figures there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Henry. Dorina, would you like to come in on that, please?
Thank you, Chair. Joe's actually probably better placed to talk about the considerations with regard to contract hire. He's going to pick up on that point. If I can just pick up on the other point, Councillor, you made with regard to a number of the terms and conditions. Certainly, this is something that we're very conscious of, that there are still a number of different terms and conditions in operation across our workforce, and it's something that's very high on management's agenda. You'll appreciate that we need to work with our trade unions to get to a single set of terms and conditions. You mentioned a number which in relation to one particular group of staff, but it's certainly a much wider piece of work and something that I know when my business plan was presented to SPNR, it's one of the things that is in there to address as quickly as we can going forward. But I can maybe ask Joe just to talk in detail about the contract hire point.
Sure. I can only go on what I've seen over the last number of years, and you find most of the councils don't tend to do contract hire. In the Legacy Antrim Council, they had went for contract hire, and they actually got a brand new fleet. And the idea was that they would replace those vehicles every 5 years. It seemed like a very good idea at the time, but unfortunately, that firm went bust. And then the next thing is the council find themselves having to go out and procure to get the vehicles in. So I'm always very wary of contract hire. And again, it's a bit like having your own car you can look after. But if you go and hire a car, as I'm sure the rest of you have done, you can get caught up in a small print there and basically maybe get caught out with additional costs on it. So certainly we always keep an eye on that to see is that as an option. But I say what I've seen over the last years is say what happened in Antrim. And I'll be just concerned in case we get caught out on that side of things.
Okay, Councillor Murnham.
Yeah, thank you. Henry sort of touched on this a wee bit, but we've still questions here. Staffing. You know, there's nothing in the figures presented for additional staffing costs, if there is any additional staffing costs. You know, the run, if we propose to take a pod out of a bin, that's going to take additional time. So, you know, has that been factored into all of the costings on it? And how many litres, the pod, when you look at the images of the bin lorry, how many litres of glass does the actual pod on the lorry, is it the pod you call it? The piece on the lorry, I know, for collecting them, how many litres does that hold? Just doesn't seem to be that big. The pod holds. Insert. And then the target, we've talked about the target for the recycling of having to achieve 50%. I think it's about 8 months ago now, and I brought the canvas about introducing blue bins to business users, and was told that process was underway. And you know, how far down the road are we with that at this time? And I think, Doreen, you maybe missed on Councillor Brown's question. I think he was asking, had we already purchased any of the vehicles, the new vehicles?
No.
Well,
no.
Sorry. Well, can I ask you then, have we already purchased any of the vehicles on the new one? We haven't.
No, we haven't purchased any of these new vehicles that are being proposed.
Right, okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Joe, do you want to come in with the other question?
Yes, sure. Well, on the blue bin thing, is if you think normally you have your black bin being emptied in the blue bin, and it's the same squads who do it week in, week out. One week it'd be doing black, the next is doing blue. You tend to find that the blue bin runs are slightly lighter, and they can do it quicker. So you'll find that there should be no additional cost in staffing, etc. The fact that they're taking the carry and putting it into the pod. So you find that should. There should be enough staff to carry out that actual process. In relation to the pod, is a very good question. It's certainly something that we're looking at whenever if we do buy these 14 vehicles of pods, is to see what the ratio factor, what size that pod should be against the maybe what the rest of the size of the vehicle is for the rest of the driving cycles, and making contact with councils like in East Antrim who have those vehicles. Lambridges at ABC who have those vehicles to see what the ratio factor, so we don't get caught out with shipping. The last thing you want is that pod being too small, and then finally having to ship the vehicle for the glass while the rest of the vehicle is only half full. So it's a very good point that, and to say we are looking at that. And so it's highly regulated. The next one would be the blue bins.
The rollout of the blue bins to business users.
Yes, sorry. On that particular one, we did look at that, and I think the concern was in the down area. We actually do have about 100 customers within the down area that are on the blue bin service. And the other thing we've done this year is that, as we've talked about food waste, we've actually rolled that out to commercial waste customers to say, look, if you want to, or because of the amount of say food waste you have, that we can collect your food waste separately instead of it going into the black bin. So we are quite active at. Unfortunately, when we did look at the brown bin side of things, well, a lot of them showed interest. We've only had a handful in release that side of things, but we have had the uptake on the blue bin, which is good to see. And as customers, or as commercial waste customers, if they do wish to recycle, certainly we will provide that service to them.
So the blue bin's now available to business users?
Yes, they always have been. I think the difference had been is that it was seen, or it had been seen as if there wasn't a blue bin service out there. And to be honest, it's a very simple one we do. We basically offer a fortnightly service, and the blue bin week's about. All we do is get those lorries to go and pick up the blue bin things from the commercial customers. And I say, whenever that was raised, I actually went and checked, and I was actually quite pleased to see that within the down area, which seemed to be in the problem, we had about 100 customers that actually availed that service, which means helps on the recycling side. And they're safe for the trade waste customers. It's a cheaper price, so again, it's in their interest as well.
Okay.
You know, I as a business person, I wasn't aware of it, and I'd asked the question, say, about 8 months ago, and was told that it was going to be rolled out. I'd be surprised if it was a single business user in Ballinahinch has got a blue bin.
It was certainly what we've done is we've rolled that out to or certainly any customers we have, we've actually written out to them to say that there is a blue bin service for anyone. And the other thing is that on the food waste, NIEA have actually been out to commercial customers to say to them that, look, you really need to look at recycling your food waste.
Perhaps, Mark, if there has been a lack of communication, Joe would actually email you all of the refuge services that are available to business owners at this present moment. Is that okay? Councillor Fitzpatrick?
Okay, thanks, Chair. Just a number of points. I'm really concerned about the fact that we're making a decision here tonight to roll out to spend over $3 million on bins. When you said during the event there was a really detailed paper, I would have to disagree with you. I didn't feel that it was up to scratch, and I felt that lastminute.com, a fourth option was thrown in. In addition to that, at the meeting, Canis indicated that the bins were 10 years old, and in fact, they're actually 7 years old, is what their opinion was to be. The fact is that, Joe, you're coming out here tonight with some figures, not all of the figures. We asked some months ago for the figures for the blue bin recycling, what the options are, how much in the black bin is glass belong to it, and the whole breakdown of what we take in, what we take out, and how we could make that saving. I'm not too sure if you've factored into that 50% the impact of the brown bin waste that's going to have, because indeed you did tell me it was going to be 4.8, and I think it actually worked out at 5.6 kilos per household per week, so that's actually an increase on it. So what percentage of an improvement does that mean? I don't actually think this has been fully thought out. If you didn't want an expert, and I feel that the reason why the expert was asked for, or the independent person was asked for, because we didn't feel we were getting the enough figures and enough data to make a decision about spending £3 million of ratepayers' money, whenever a lot of ratepayers have said, quite a lot of them, a high percentage of them have said, we actually want to keep our glass in the blue bin. So I don't feel that we got adequate figures. I feel that the need for an additional independent person was based on the fact that we were not getting the figures despite them asked for them on several occasions. I, in fact, I'm still waiting, and obviously Canis has gone now. I never got the figures sent to me of the glass and what percentage it was right across the district. I never got that. Then we get last minute, we're sitting there and we're told, there's a fourth option you didn't put on the paper. Really, I'm sorry, but that is not acceptable in my book, for that to come lastminute.com to anyone and then say, sure, let's just go and spend $4 million or $3 million or whatever it is, right? Really, really, really not good enough, and certainly not from a director. And I know he's not here, so I can't really criticise him, but what I'm saying is we did ask for the figures, we didn't get them, and we asked for somebody to come along and give an independent assessment because we weren't getting the figures, but we're going to overturn this now just on the basis that it fits well for whatever reason. I really think we need to take a hard, long look at this, and actually this should be revisited in a proper manner so that we can actually make a decision with facts, figures, tables, whatever. Certainly, two A4 papers, you can actually put in fantastic information on two A4 papers, pieces of paper. We actually got less than satisfactory information on two A4 sheets of paper. So really, I honestly God think that this needs to be revisited with urgency. You don't want to spend the money on an expert, get the figures done properly yourselves then, because I'm sick and tired of waiting for them and asking for them. So, thank you. Oh, by the way, where's your man here the night that we're spending big dough on? I mean, he was there at the RTS meeting. Alan Wilkinson.
Chairman, I take exception to talking about an office for the council that way. The members will be aware that the officer works on a Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday.
I wasn't aware of that.
Contract. Well, I think that was explained to council in the past.
Okay. But he should be here.
Sorry. Hold on a minute. We're going to go to Mr. Parks for an answer. I'm allowing two more speakers in, Councillor Tinley and Councillor Harvey, and then I think we need to be wrapping this up and moving it on. Mr. Parks?
Thank you, Chair. Basically, on the options paper, we did look at a number of options, and I was advised by my director at the time that we were looking at a three-option model, but the rest have been discounted speaking to the relevant councillors and party reps, etc. So, I say that's why the paper actually came with the three options. There was the additional one fourth option, and that was putting the glass in. And again, as we've already discussed, that was legislation really saying that you should not really go down that part. In relation to the comment about 4 kilograms and the 5 kilograms, that was actually to do with the brown bins. That was to do with actually where we wanted to spend £39,000 worth on bins to put them out to people that didn't want to pay for it. And all I was simply doing was saying, look, at the end of the day, here's where, for to cover the cost of that 140 bin going out to the brown bins, the people that don't have the brown bins, there's 4 kilograms. Now, the legislation would show that it could take 5 kilograms, and by having that, while we didn't have the money in the budget for those brown bins, we were able then to say, through this here equation, to say, well, actually, if these people then get the brown bins, take their food waste out of their black bin, put it in their brown bin, this will cover the 39,000, and therefore, dare I say, with a win-win situation, we're able to put the 3,000 brown bins out to these customers, and again, it would help on the recycling. The glass is always a difficult one, and the difficulty is to try and work out, we are working with the public here, how much glass is going to come out of those black bins and go into the blue bins, and they're staying at the end of the pod. But again, it goes back to trying to ensure that we hit recycling it. But again, a lot of it's down to cost. You have to bear in mind that if the glass goes into the black bin, there's quite a significant cost in it. If you're working at the moment with the waste processing of a blue bin, it's double the price as compared if the glass is out. And that's why there is the whole figure of simply saying that it can work out more economically viable to have a pod in the bins. If there was only £1 or £2 difference, there could be a question of it being put in the...
Is it a new question, Councillor Fitzpatrick? Because I think we've asked quite a lot of questions here.
I'm not sure if you can put the brown bin if possible in it, as well as they've been in the drop to recognize it. What do you call your man?
No, I think you said, where is your man? He should have been here, that we're paying the big money for. And I do think it was, you know, an unfair statement and an inappropriate statement. Councillor Kinley?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I suppose at that RTS meeting, Chair, I backed Councillor Stokes. And I've listened to a lot of the arguments here tonight, but I remain of the view that we have nothing to fear from an independent consultant. People have flagged up the lack of information here, and that's all they're seeking, is additional information from an independent source so they can make a decision based on the information that is forthcoming. There is, Chair, without a doubt, a totally contrary view out there to the one that is put forward by the officers, in that far from removing the glass from the blue bin in the down area, that very system should be rolled out in the old down legacy area. Sorry, in the newer area was what I meant to say at the beginning. So there is a view out there that that is the case, and any increase, that the view would be then that that would automatically increase the amount of recycling going on, and we would hit our targets a lot sooner, and it would offset any negative connotations that the officers have flagged up on the proposal. But my main concern, sure, is I'll have to say, if we go with option one, we're talking about an additional mechanism on a bespoke piece of equipment, and there's absolutely no doubt about it, the actual time per lift will at a minimum double, and we are having major issues throughout the district at the minute with lifts. I cannot imagine what this is going to add to it, because I don't see any light at the end of that tunnel. The council already touched on it. The task and finish, I think, is an incredible situation from the hangover legacy Newry Council that has to be addressed, because we're getting it in the neck. I do take calls 4 days a week on missed bin lifts, and I know people are working very hard, and they're trying to play with the hand they've been dealt. But to add on to that, and to actually turn around and say that the lifts are actually going to take twice as long now, which they will at a minimum when this new equipment comes in, I dread to think what the system's going to be like in a couple of years. So for that reason, sure, I'm going to back Councillor Stokes.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Tinley. I don't think he asked any new questions, so I'm just moving on to Councillor Harvey, who will be the last councillor to speak on the issue tonight.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Just a wee question for Mr. Parks. When the scheme is rolled out, will all the bottle banks, collection points, recycling points, will they all disappear, especially from the down district? And as well as that, a wee comment. Some councillors asked if there would be no room left in the blue bin, but surely the caddies won't be used every week, so there will be a lot of people not use them very often.
Thank you, Chair. All right, Councillor Harvey, is that you? Councillor Parker?
Chair, the recycling points, certainly what we'd probably do is keep them in place and just monitor them. You know, it doesn't really cost any additional cost in having them there, because it's near enough cost neutral. It doesn't cost anything to collect the glass, because the way the process actually works in that particular contract. So what it proposes to have it. And again, if you think of the Nurean Warren area, there still are some recycling banks in there, and they are used, maybe not that much, but they are used. So what we would do is just watch and see where it goes. But you probably would find that people would then say, use the option one, that the use of those banks would decline, and we would just assess it from there on in. In relation to the background to the caddy, again, it is something, as I said earlier, be great if we do find ourselves that the blue bins are overflowing. But normally, whenever you look at blue bins, they say go back to the people maybe not breaking stuff down or crushing the tin cans and the milk cartons and various other things. So you should find that if they do that, break, compact the stuff, the blue bins should do it. And if it does become a difficulty, it's certainly something that we can review. But there are councils out there using the 40 litre caddy in the 240 bin, and I haven't heard anything coming back saying that it should be a bigger caddy or smaller one. So I say we'll go for the 40 litre one and then roll it out and take it from there.
Okay, thank you, councillors. I give that item a lot of time. I think it was worthy of being given a lot of time. It's a very difficult issue. I know everybody wanted to come in. I know certainly it has been discussed for several months at fairly good length of party reps meetings, and I thought we got most of the information, if not all of the information, which we requested. The minutes were adopted for accuracy. We had an amendment proposed by Councillor Ruan, seconded by Councillor Burns, I think was the correct way around, and that was that we would accept, Liam, do you want to read it out? Or
that we accept.
Accept option one, which is grass collection pods and refuse collection vehicles. And then there's details we saw on that, but in principle it means that we would purchase new vehicles covering the service next year, which would have impact on our capital. The inset trays would be provided at a cost of $377,000, and again we would actually use a caddy type system in the new refuse vehicles.
Can we now take, we have been requested a recorded vote, so we will now take the vote. Eileen, are you happy enough?
Yes, I can call them.
Okay, recorded vote. Those in favour of the amendment that we will accept option one, the purchase of the vehicles. Councillor Andrews? Against? Councillor Brown? Councillor Burgess?
Yes.
Councillor Burns? Councillor Byrne is absent. Councillor Carr?
Yes.
Councillor Casey? Oh,
yes.
Councillor Clark is absent. Councillor Craig?
Oh, yes.
Councillor Kern?
Yes.
Councillor Devlin and Councillor Dorn are absent. Councillor Enright?
Yes.
Councillor Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Councillor Hannah?
Yes.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Harvey?
Or.
Councillor Hervey?
Or.
Councillor Highland is absent. Councillor Kimmins?
Or.
Councillor Larkin?
Or.
Councillor Loughran? Councillor McCauley is absent. Councillor McAteer? Declan?
Yes.
Councillor Kevin McAteer is absent. Councillor McMahon? Councillor McMurray?
Yes.
Or. Councillor Mulgrew?
For.
Councillor Mernon? Councillor O'Griven?
For.
Councillor O'Murray?
For.
Councillor Quinn?
Yes.
Councillor Riley?
Yes.
Councillor Ruan?
For.
Councillor Sharvin?
Yes.
Councillor Stokes?
Yes.
Councillor Taylor?
Yes.
Councillor Tinley?
Yes.
Councillor Traynor? Councillor Walker?
For.
And for the purposes of the tape, Councillor Bailey was also absent. The amendment is carried. There was 18 in favour and 15 against. The amendment is carried. Could we have a proposer and seconder then for all of the recommendations, including that change, please? Proposer for the RTS committee, proposed and seconder by Councillor Ruan and Councillor Oka. And everybody's in agreement that we've proposed and seconded? Right, okay. We're moving on to item 11. The correspondence from the Health and Social Care Board regarding the reshaping of the stroke services. This item is actually for noting only. However, Councillor Kern has expressed his concern over the lack of inclusion of the Downs area hospital. I have spoken to Liam, and over the next couple of weeks we will be setting up two working groups which will represent both of the areas, who will compile a response to the consultation, and that will be brought forward to the September meeting. Item 12 is the correspondence. Yes?
Chair, just on that, I mean, I've got to just say, really, and encourage people, for as many people as in the community and within the council, to actually read that document, because I know, personally speaking, I've been asking for this, that any consultation come out, that it would be on a pre-consultation basis, that you're not forced into questions, you know, about the long-term viability of a service or whatever, without any information. But this one,
McAteer, it's there for you to share with everyone, and it is only for noting, and we will be pulling together the two groups, and was quite clear in that we will pull together two groups which will compile a consultation, a response to the consultation. As a councillor, you are more than welcome to go and share it. In fact, I would say it's your duty to go and ask people to do that.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 12 is the correspondence received from the Department of Infrastructure regarding the Smart Path Equality Campaign, and again, it is for noting only, Councillor Andrews.
I hope I got your indulgence. I'd just like a reply to it. I'd like to thank everybody.
Councillor Andrews, honestly, I'm going to be very strict on this. I said it was for noting. We appreciate that they have responded to us, and I will acknowledge it, but it is there just for noting.
Well, just
the last item, item 13, is the conference on the housing policy in Northern Ireland. And the cost of that conference is £210 plus VAT. Is anyone interested in going, or if anyone would like to go?
I propose Councillor Kern, Dermot Kern.
Well, Dermot Kern is not here at the minute. If he has expressed an interest, if he could perhaps contact Eileen, and can we have a proposer and seconder for that? That Councillor Andrews will second, and we are all happy that Councillor Kern will go if he is in agreement. Listen, I apologise. At the start of the night, I actually had minutes which were out of date because I was at a graduation today, so the minutes I started the meeting with were slightly out of date. That's why there was a bit of a kerfuffle. So I apologise for that. It will not happen again. Okay, good night and safe home.
Sure. You sort of forgot to send best wishes to the Down GAA footballers. And also the final. Do you wish to correct it? No.